Good afternoon, everybody. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football's here. We got a lot to talk about on a hump day in late May, Memorial Day weekend week. I always love that. It's the start of summer. I think we should do a big blowout.
And when it's going to be 64 degrees this Monday, man, it'll feel like summer.
I think we should do some kind of either station. I know we have the five-alarm event coming up. But I think we should do something for show morale. Like, I was just talking to Donnie and Limits off the air. You guys play your highfalutin golf, and I was going to invite them down to my country club for a scramble of golf ineptitude for show morale and station morale. Me, Donnie.
To be fair, I get invited.
Crowley was thrown out there.
People, you actually belong to a country club. I don't.
Yeah.
More white collar evidence.
We're there for the pool and for the social aspect of it. We're not there for the golf. It's more of a thing to do with friends and neighbors than it is the golf
part of it. It's probably a very blue-collar club.
It is, Washington Country Club. It's about as blue-collar as it gets. But yeah, so I was thinking about putting a group together, and Limits told us that his driver still was made of wood. Like, it's from the 1950s.
It's like Ben Hogan.
He's using persimmon.
Walter Hagen model.
Walter might have actually used it, it sounds
not
like.
Not Davis Love the Third. Davis Love the Original was the guy who used
it. The first Tommy Armour.
Yeah.
Old Tom Morris.
All right, so, yeah, who's the guy that won the British Open back in the day? Old Tom?
It was Old Tom Morris, and then there was Young Tom Morris.
The guy's name was Old Tom Morris, Don.
That was back when the clubs were called, like, a Mashie, a Niblick, a Spoon, things of that nature.
Well,
the Gutta Percha.
There's a lot of different ways to go with George Pickens' first press conference in Dallas today. I think it's hilarious that he says he brings hard work to the team and that he's known as a guy that never gets too high or too low.
That's like I'm saying I'm known as a guy who has a very small head.
Or Chris saying, you know, I'm never self-loathing and self-hating. I actually am always very cocksure and I'm always very kind to myself and I always say very flattering things about myself. Yeah. Sure. I never get too high or too low, buddy.
My teammates have literally never had to spend enormous amounts of time on the sideline of an actual NFL game keeping my mood in check. Show up on time all the time.
And then he takes a shot at Tomlin and said it's super refreshing with a different culture here.
Well, I felt like you might have liked that part.
Yeah, but it's the wrong messenger. You know, I didn't even really like Najee saying those things when he left. You know, I have Pickens and Najee in the pile of guys who I was sick of watching play for the Steelers. And so when they try to slam the team out the door, I don't like trying to talk out of both sides of my mouths and saying, well, I killed these guys when they're here. Now I'm going to give oxygen or life to the way they scalded the team when they waved goodbye. No, like if somebody who I actually respected said that, it would be different, but I don't have a ton of respect
George
for either one of those guys.
George saying it is patently absurd.
Yeah,
George saying what he said is an absurdity. The culture he likes down there is probably that it is glitzy. I think guys, maybe not CeeDee Lamb specifically, but other players have like talked about how Jerry will just walk fans through practices. Like there's tours that go on while the team is practicing in season. And I think a lot of guys have quietly groused about what a laughable joke that is, that it's more of a reality show.
Oh, Patrick Peterson talked about that on the podcast with me.
Than it is like an actual NFL team trying to win.
They'd bring fans into the meetings when they were happening to say, like, look, see, they're at work right now. They're discussing what they're going to do against the Eagles on Sunday.
Like, Jerry treats it almost like a zoo a little bit.
You're right.
And you know what, though? It is, I think it's still a franchise that is all about the individual because it's the ultimate individual who owns it. And I think George will actually like that if he's getting the ball enough.
Well, one thing that I discovered on the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, how about this? Pickens and Metcalf have the same exact receiving prop number for 2025. It's 950.5 for both guys. I don't like either.
So I think that it's that low or that number for Pickens because he's the clear second dude behind CeeDee.
But they're going to throw it a lot because they don't run the ball. Who's the number one running back in Dallas right now, Donnie?
I want you to say somebody from like 12 years ago, like Felix Jones.
Oh, Felix Jones, the ex-Steeler, too.
Run DMC.
Well, let's see. It's no longer Rico Dowdle. Who the heck is it? Oh, wait.
It's not Pollard.
No.
Deuce Vaughn.
Wasn't he the guy whose dad was the scout?
Yeah. They had to have signed somebody.
Who is it, Donnie? I'm asking you. You're the resident football guy.
I can't think of who it is. It's not going to be Zeke. Elliott.
Nope.
Who the heck is it?
They didn't draft anybody early, so it's not anybody new. Mulsey's now.
I'm checking it.
Trying to tacitly look up their depth chart.
Tacitly, I'm clicking away.
We had
over
to have
here.
Missed something here.
They should make Hunter Luepke the feature back.
Who is it? Do we know?
It's the Our Lads up there. They're the best in the business.
They really are.
I'm gonna go with Our Lads and see what it pops up. Well, they didn't make the acquisition in the offseason that I thought was meant for them and built for them, which was Najee coming there. Maybe he'll end up there because I feel like the Chargers are not in exactly like love with him.
Are you on AOL 1995 right now, or did you Relax. Actually find it?
Relax, Chalooch. I'm getting it right here. Dallas Cowboys depth chart. Starting at running back, Javonte Williams.
Okay, so they brought him in from Denver, the guy
so
that
you
never had a 1,000-yard
right
season
now.
There. I actually did not. I had spaced on what they did at running back.
Their depth chart actually says Jadon Blue, Miles Sanders. Do you remember that acquisition?
Booby Sanders, as he's affectionately called.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn, by the way, fifth string on the running back depth chart.
Well, the question I had written down here with Pickens is, and I know what our answers are going to be, but I did write down any regrets over this trade. Because they still don't have a number two wide receiver. I shouldn't say that because Donnie was not as high on the Pickens trade as you and I were. And it happened now, what, more than a week ago, 2 weeks ago? And they didn't fill that gap yet. They didn't go out and sign Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper. The Chris Olave thing, everyone now, Albert Breer is the latest to say, Crowley's right. The Steelers did reach out to the Saints. But the Saints are this weird team that even though Derek Carr retired and Tyler Shuck is going to be their starter, they don't want to like tear it all down. They don't want to admit that they're almost like the Steelers, I guess, in that respect. They don't want to admit that they're having a rebuilding season.
There's two things.
We know what's going on here for you.
There's Spencer Rattler erasure going on too there. In that comment, but my man Canario just continues. It continues to be a 5-run
warning
tease.
Track power.
Warning, exactly. This is just brutal for me. But yeah, it's weird that the Saints. Although that Olave thing, I thought would have been very ill advised. That guy's got. Such
That's exactly
massive,
what I said when you were winning that golf tournament.
Man.
Not just that. It's just I just don't agree with up a lot of draft picks for a receiver, and you still don't have a quarterback who can get him the ball.
I mean, I like the player if he's not concussed and if he has a quarterback. I think he's a very good receiver.
Yeah,
but
they
like,
don't have a quarterback
those
here.
Those are two massive ifs. Like, Derek Carr was throwing him hospital balls all his entire time in
I mean,
in
Donnie, do you think that we're going to be sitting down in September watching the Steelers and the Cowboys from afar, and you're going to be tempted to tweet out things like the Steelers made the mistake here and they should have kept Pickens?
The only way I'd really feel that way is if they do zero the rest of the way out, because I don't rule out a chance of Pickens actually having a pretty good season. He is getting by far the best quarterback play he's ever gotten.
Who would you bet to have more yards, Pickens or Metcalf this year?
I'd still go Metcalf because there is one of the best receivers in the game also on Pickens' team, so he's clearly the number two guy.
Yeah, but we've seen Chase Higgins.
To Pony's point, that can cut both ways, where if one of the best receivers in the league is on the other side and you're getting singled up, George might eat. I mean, for all his
flaws.
Look
at Juju with AB.
He can go up and get it.
That would be my
tons of plays. And he's better. He's more talented than Juju by far.
They're both at 950.
I think Pickens could have 1,000 yards there.
And Metcalf didn't have 1,000 last year, in part because
he might just be their only
option. Smith and Jigba. Caught the ball a ton.
So Dak only started 8 games for them last year. Cooper Rush started 8, and then Trey Lance memorably started 1 game.
Yeah.
Lamb had 1,194 yards. Their number 2 pass catcher had 610.
I heard Mason on the podcast with Kabali and Mac, and you know, he's so guarded on things because he's scarred and wounded from when he played here and guys like me that called him mediocre Mason, so I have to own that. But you know, he sounded like a guy that, even without truth serum, you ask him, he's the only quarterback that's weighed in so far on the Pickens thing. Howard just got here, and Aaron Rodgers is off playing with Super Soakers. And it sounded like Mason Rudolph was not a fan of that trade at all. You know, that makes sense. I mean, part of what made Mason Rudolph's, I can't even say resurgence, I would just say surgence, because it was the first time we saw it, was the fact that he got the ball to Pickens.
I was
going
to say, they had a real
They made
rapport.
Plays together.
Yeah, George clearly preferred him to the other two because he was getting them the ball a lot and on time.
But, I mean, am I inferring from your comments, Donnie, that you're confident they are going to fill that number two wide receiver position appropriately and get the right guy in there?
No, I am not confident in that whatsoever. We watched them get embarrassed a year ago for the entire summer by a man in San Francisco. They got left at the altar, and then they did nothing. They said, don't worry, we have Van Jefferson. And that man this year could be Mr. Robert Woods.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
I do think, to go back to the culture comment for a second, I do think if Pickens had gone to a team that also fans here had a little bit of respect for and he said that, it would be different. If the Chiefs had rolled the dice on Pickens and he said that, then I might be inclined to say, okay, maybe Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes could actually get this guy like Bill Belichick did with Randy Moss in New
England.
The Ravens
would have been, I think, a damning one, even though we saw Deontay Johnson go there.
I wouldn't say that about them. They don't get that benefit of the doubt with me.
Well, then it's really just, did he go to a team with a really, really, really good quarterback and an offensive head coach?
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's the Chiefs, because McDermott's
Yeah, but if he went to the Bills, I would say that. I mean, they haven't won big yet.
Receivers haven't exactly had a happy time there all the time. Stephon
Diggs. But Diggs was super productive. But they wouldn't make that move. The Bills would not trade for George Pickens. It would be a total affront to everything they stood for with the Diggs decision. Their whole thing was, we don't want the wide receiver who's a diva
what
here.
If
we don't need
to the
that
Rams
guy.
In a trade.
Yeah, I'd be, and he said different culture here. I'd probably
Except,
say
you know what?
You're right.
They made no effort to get him, and they instead got Davante Adams.
Yep. Yeah, I think Pickens and the Cowboys are made for each other. Like, he could say different culture. My guess is by Columbus Day, they're going to be talking down there, and it'll be on all the ESPN shows how he's unfollowed Dallas on social media outlets and channels and is already like trying to get himself traded out of there to find greener pastures again.
It's sort of funny to watch Marcus Mosher, my guy who's based, I think, in Erie, but writes about the Cowboys.
Well, he's a Cowboys lover, right?
Well, he writes, he covers them. He's just a guy, right? I would say better than a blog.
He's an Alex Cazora.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And he's doing a lot of hopeful posts about George Pickens. Some of the Dallas radio hosts that I follow down there. There's a lot
you
of
follow Dallas radio hosts. Congratulations on all your success.
They're within the Odyssey family. They're under the it's even bigger than the Saunders umbrella, the Odyssey umbrella down there. They're all hopeful about Pickens. Hey, they finally went and got a real number two. And it's just funny to watch it from a distance, knowing that all they acquired was one of those Looney Tunes style boxes of TNT, and they're going to hold a match next to the fuse.
Fun personality. Tried to feed him as much as I could. You know, when we play, good things tended to happen when you did. But, you know, I understand the way things go. And there's, you know, there was just a need for, I guess, from a fresh start, things and way they transpired last year, I guess. So we're moving forward with the guys we got on this roster. DK's been a pro's pro.
Mason Rudolph on George Pickens leaving town. Segment sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the fan beer of the month. General Braddock's Brew, gentlemen, and the charity of the month is Irreverent Warriors. Yeah, Mason was a Pickens guy because Pickens helped him steer the Steelers in the right direction and get them to the playoffs 2 years ago.
You like that nervous laugh? He's a fun personality.
Yeah, Mason's a terrible public speaker. He's just brutal at it. He does not.
He's better than he was, but like,
does
fun
not command
personality.
A room.
Come on.
Will Howard actually commands a room. He's actually really good at it. Will Howard, if he ever becomes a starting quarterback, if he wants to do a radio show that's not garbage, he'll be able to do it. Because I hope he's not as robotic as Russell Wilson.
I think he's too polished. That's
the word I was going to use. He's polished.
Roethlisberger was polished, but he couldn't resist getting his message out there, and that's what made that show great.
Well, Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers have the same thing going for them. They are polished, but they have just enough I don't give a bleep in them to say what they want, which makes their shows compelling ones. And even though I detest the idea of Aaron Rodgers as the Steelers quarterback, if he signs here, and I still think he does, I admit right now that I will likely watch appointment listening or viewing his visit on McAfee every week.
Do you think
for that
Pat
reason.
Will try to get like explosive quotes out of him, or Pat even has to try to get explosive quotes out of him?
Yeah, I don't think it takes much. I mean, it didn't take much for me with Ben.
Ben, how did you feel about last week?
Yeah. You just ask him about something that happened, and you know, sometimes he'd say, like, enough with that, guys. You've asked me 6 questions about something. I'm done talking about it. But for the most part, he welcomed the opportunity to give his opinion and 2 cents on things.
Stay healthy, 7.
So the tush push vote today went the way of the Eagles. They invited Jason Kelce to Minneapolis where they're holding these owner meetings. He apparently gave a fiery defense. The rhetoric was incredible, and enough teams buckled under that and voted to keep the tush push in place. The Ravens are one of those teams that said, let's not get rid of this. The Steelers were anti-tush push. They were one of the 22 teams that said, let's outlaw it and remove it from football. And we're going to discuss this and debate this in Judge Donnie at 5:30. We'll be in Donnie's courtroom in his chambers later on today. This will be a topic on our show. My initial stance here is, man, for a team that talks a lot about wanting to be physical and tough, you're going to vote against what is really just like the NFL version of the Oklahoma drill, like tough team, low man wins. You, the anti-finesse team, you, the team that talks so much about being hard to play against and blue collar.
You're going to pay a physical toll with the Steelers every
time. Yeah, you know who voted to keep the tush push in, even though they never run it because their quarterback can't do it? The Lions. Because that's Dan Campbell's MO. It would seem like a contradiction to everything he stands for.
If Jalen Hurts was Dan Campbell's quarterback, they might just run the tush push every up play. And down the field.
Right.
I find it interesting, by the way, the Saints apparently voted to keep it. Kellen Moore, their head coach, where was he last year? Huh. Philly's offensive coordinator. Andrew Berry came from the Howie Roseman tree. Browns voted to keep it.
The Patriots, Mike Vrabel, does he strike you as a guy that would want a play that's about
Vrabel
like
strikes
the
me
tough
as a guy who
winning?
Would like to he strikes me as a guy who would outlaw the forward pass if he could.
And you've got Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney saying if you hate it so much and you think it's bad for football, why did you try to do it last year? You tried it several times. You bring Fields into the game to do it. You blew at it. You sucked at it. So that's your mentality now? If you can't beat them, get rid of it? Prevent it?
So you know,
outlaw it?
You know my stance.
That's
my
weak.
Quick stance was like, I thought it aesthetically it was kind of just a dumb-looking play and I would get sick
yeah,
of
your,
watching
your
it.
Your take was not a nuanced one. It was, I don't like it, so please get rid of it.
I don't like watching it, but I do have nuance to it. You're actually blunting my very nuanced take. I do feel for the Eagles. They're the ones who are good at it. They are being targeted here. Not really the play. It's more about the Eagles were getting targeted with this. And there's a part of me that's like, no. If they're the ones who happen to be able to run it really well, screw the rest of the league. Find a way to stop it. I just don't, aesthetically speaking, enjoy it.
Well, we got it for at least one. But is this going to be something they vote on every year now? That seems dumb. They voted. The teams, the league answered and said, hey, we don't love it, but we'll keep it.
I think you should, if you try to vote down something like this or vote something like this out of the league and it does not pass the vote, you can't bring it up again for at least 3 years.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, you can't just go every year, all right, tush push again. Jalen Hurts has won his 8th straight Super Bowl. Can we ban the tush push?
They also tabled the playoff seeding until there's 18 games, and we don't know when that's coming.
But I'm thinking that's a clue or sign that they think 18 games is right around the corner.
I'm sure it's not far away. Like, I'm sure it is within the next 3 to 5 years, if not sooner. But like, there's an example of like, they're not just, well, the next time we vote, we're bringing it right back up. They're going to wait until that game gets added.
Are we going to get to a point in my lifetime where we're talking about 30 NFL games a year?
Oh, no, that would be great. I don't think they could possibly do that.
Okay, but here's a take. I think in our lifetimes, and while we're still employed on the station, we will have 20 game seasons, and there will be no actual preseason.
Oh, I'd love that.
I know
they'll
you
just
would.
Do like joint practices.
Yeah,
and
I think they'll
camp.
Do. And then the first week of the year is going to kind of suck because everyone's going to be off. Like there's going to be poor tackling, and by about week three, they'll have two bye weeks. By the way, for a 20 game season, which is like a must.
I think they should have two with 18.
They should, but like the NFL doesn't care about these guys health wise.
I think we
they'll
should have. I think we should get to 40. I'd like to see us get to 40 teams. And I think if that happens, we're going to have a division made up entirely of international teams.
If you get to 40 teams, why not just have two international divisions? Asia and Europe or something, or South America
or Europe,
and
then you got Toronto can have a team.
Mexico City. You're going to put one. Sao Paulo is still a long flight. You'd have those two in North America.
Yeah. I'm always in favor of more football.
What's
I
the,
want more
what
of my
the,
favorite sport, please.
Okay, what is the saturation level, just hypothetically, for you?
I don't know yet,
because
we haven't reached
how
it.
Many months of the sports calendar would have to contain meaningful regular season NFL games for you to go, I think enough is enough?
I just always want more of it. It is a drug.
If it was in May, the draft has just happened, and we are approaching week 36 of a 40-week season, are you like, man, I'm tapped out here?
Okay, if the UFL was a league that was a feeder for the NFL... And so, like, Will Howard right now was quarterbacking what was the equivalent of a Steelers AAA team made up of practice squad guys and rookie guys. I would absolutely be watching those games right now. No doubt.
Would you be coming in like, Mulsey, we got to talk about this, and
this? Depends what the ratings and reaction was, but if people thought like me, then yeah.
No, I don't mind that idea where I come down on, would you say, 30 or 40 games?
I just threw 30 out there. I didn't really... put much thought in it,
because if they would ever have like a lot of games in a season, it would become a little bit like we see baseball and hockey and I'm
water
sure
it
basketball
down.
Where like
the games didn't count as much.
I'll be honest, 20 feels like my max.
You
man.
Don't feel like as intense going into any given Sunday,
right?
Because it's like, up, you know, they lose this one,
get them
so
again.
What?
Also, I think guys just would physically would not be able to do it. You'd have to have rosters that got expanded by like 20+.
Joe and Pop every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week, brought to you by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Tyler Kennedy set to join us in a minute. Tyler invited Joe to play golf at Nevillewood, and Joe did something where the keys got locked in the car and the alarm wouldn't turn off.
Back in TK's playing days, if he had committed a giveaway as bad as inviting Joe to play and expecting it all to go smoothly, Bilesma would have stapled him to the bench for a couple shifts.
So it's Nevillewood.
One of the best conditioned, nicest country clubs in the area.
Aaron Rodgers' future club. Sidney Crosby's current club. Ben Roethlisberger, one of his clubs. One of Mario's clubs. And there's nothing more annoying than hearing a car alarm, whether you're at the supermarket,
one of the only
your
worst,
office parking lot.
One
I
of
mean,
the only worst places it could go off for like focus or like it would agitate you than a golf course you're trying to play.
Yeah, that's right.
Is if you have one on your street go off and like your house has sound travel through and you got a kid sleeping.
Yeah, you're
that's
not
it.
Supposed to talk when someone's trying to swing a golf club, and Joe's car alarm wouldn't turn off. AAA got called.
It feels like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, if I'm being honest.
AAA didn't work. They had to call a locksmith.
Dun, dun, dun. Here is my question. So Joe has a relatively new car, I think. I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, not that many years old. So the keys got locked in the trunk, correct? I think that's what happened. My understanding is almost any new car, if it's a key fob.
With the key in there, it should be able to unlock.
Like the car self-unlocks is like
that's
a security
what I thought
measure.
Too. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're now joined by Tyler Kennedy. Tyler, is Joe banned from Nevillewood?
Oh, boy. He had a day. But I don't know if he's banned. You know what? He's like a little bit of like the mayor. You know, when
what?
He went up there, like, yeah, he knew a lot of people in Nevillewood. You know, when like everyone wanted to say hi to him? Like, you know, I golf with a couple guys. One of my good buddies, Mike Domingo, he's like the mayor too. You know, he walks around, he knows everyone, and he couldn't golf that day. And I'm like, oh, now I'm with Joe. he's like the next mayor. He's stopping, talking to people. We had the president of Neville Wood come and meet us on the 14th hole, talk to Joe. I'm like, I'm a member. You guys don't come and talk to me like this. And it was a really fun day. Obviously, what happened at the end was kind of crazy, and I feel really bad because I had to leave. I had a meeting at 12:30, and we teed off at 8:10. We had a slow round. We all kind of weren't playing well.
So did he have any flip outs where he teed the ball off and just swore and made up like words at the top of his lungs? Because he does
that.
Yeah,
that's really what I want to know about TK, because he gets a little hot under the collar when it doesn't go his way.
He's like, this sucks. I'm the worst golfer of all time. I quit with F-bombs and things in there.
Oh, yeah. Like a couple of the holes, he's like, you're never asking back. I am so bad. Oh, my God. I have a video of him behind a tree, and like I was gonna post it on the fan, you know, and I'm just like, he's having a day.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, I'll say this, TK, for how mad he gets at himself, he is a very good sport about like that stuff being discussed publicly. Like he knows he's ridiculous and he kind of rolls with it.
Yeah, and so like Neville Wood's such a beautiful course. It's like a long. You gotta like to play well, especially like. You got to have a long ball. You got to get it out there, and then your short game comes into play. Well, he doesn't trust his driver. So I bet you hit his 3 hybrid maybe 55 times that day. You know, like I was like, dude, that thing is smoking. But he's consistent, and like I feel like he's a good golfer, and like, if he finds his rhythm and he gets out of his head, and I told him, like, dude, like, you would beat us all if you hit your driver. He goes, I don't want to even
TK,
look at
that thing. TK, though, I've seen, so I've played with him. He is pretty good. Yeah. He plays a ton, and he's gotten very good very quick for how late he started, relatively speaking. But, like, I've seen it when the driver goes bad for him, man. It's like adding a poison pill in there. Like it's like the goalie is just letting in everything, and you guys are trying your best to play in front of him. Eventually, you just lose it because the goalie can't stop a beach ball. That's how the driver is for him.
Exactly. Like, and you don't want to get into someone's head, especially this is my first time golfing with him. You know, like even the more I get comfortable, you know, obviously I didn't chirp him or nothing like that. But like again, he's really consistent. His putting's pretty good. You know. And so I left at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Joe, I got to go. Let me know if he goes, TK, I got it. Thanks a lot. I'll see ya. So I had to leave. I just, you know, I just left on my golf cart. And I'm like, oh, and Joe's like, I'll take care of it. And I'm getting texts from every member at Neville Wood going. And they all like, hey, Joe's putting all this, you know, he just had a 5-star meal on your bill. I know what number you are. He's splitting bottles of wine up there. He's sitting in on meetings and all this stuff, you know. And after my meeting, I had a hockey session at Barrow at 3:45 on Fridays. On the way there, I get a text and a call from Jason Cannon. He's like a real estate guy. He's like, hey, I'm sitting with Starkey right now. And his car is still here. I'm like, dude, it's been.
Was it still going off? Was the alarm still going at 3 o'clock?
It was literally 3.5 hours since I left. And I felt bad. I'm like, and I'm tagging, go, Joe, you need anything? He goes, no, he's coming. You know, obviously, like, AAA came and they couldn't help him. And then, you know, but I would have paid to see his car coming off. Like, because that's like a really busy time on Friday is like the afternoon, and you have to go through the parking lot to get to the range, and like just to see his car going off, and Joe's just sitting there with his clubs. But no, like again, Joe's a beauty. He went inside the club. He's making himself at home. He's meeting and greeting. He might actually get a membership out of this, letting his car, you know, being there for an extra 3 or 4 hours.
Well, it sounds like he handled you leaving okay, because when I played basketball with him and he tore his Achilles, he was so mad at me that I didn't go in the ambulance with him to the hospital. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that. The paramedics were here. That's their job. And he still like takes it personally, like as an affront to our relationship, that I didn't ride to the hospital with him that day.
Oh, so. Maybe he's holding it in right now. Maybe he's got like, what a dick move by TK by just taking off. But boys, I am telling you, like when, like I have, like I'm pretty busy, you know. And if I can squeeze 18 in, I'm squeezing it in. And like, you can even ask all my buddies. Like, as soon as I'm done 18, shaking
hands,
you're
out of there.
I'm
no 19th hole for TK.
No, no. Unless we're tied in a money game, then we're going to 19 because I'm a kind of golfer that I need to play for something. I can't go out there and not play for something. It has to, and I'm not saying we're paying big money or nothing like that, but I either like really big bragging rights or like we're playing for money.
TK,
it's mostly money.
Can we run this back? I am inviting myself here. I'm just going to flat out admit that up front. Can I get out there with you and Joe possibly and just bear witness to this? Because I've played with Joe many times, but I feel like I could also keep him in line a little bit more.
Oh, his self-talk.
Oh, I know. He has a bad talk. His self-talk, if it were a CD, would have one of those parental advisory labels on it because of all the cussing.
That's a good one.
Be very bad.
All right, TK, we'll hear you tomorrow with Joe for the update. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Boys, I can say one thing. It's like my six-year-old after a bad shift in hockey. That's how Joe talks to himself. He goes, I suck. I hate this game. I suck. I'm sorry. I hate this.
I hope your six-year-old doesn't know all the words Joe knows. Let's put it like
that. No, it's a little PGA, but sounds good, boys.
See
always
you, TK.
Fun.
You bet.